The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to Play Action, the Buffalo News' football podcast, an in-person edition. Catherine, the first of the season. We're in the studio at the Buffalo News.
Sure are.
Catherine Fitzgerald, I'm Lance Lysowski. We cover the Bills for the Buffalo News. And we've got a breaking news edition of Play Action in some ways. James Cook is signed. What was your reaction when you see that news on a Wednesday morning, just given everything that's happened the previous week and a half with the hold-in? He warms up at the preseason game. He doesn't play. He shows up at practice on Tuesday.
Well, my first thought was, wow, it's early and it's time to work. But I think after that, it was, okay, it happened. Like you mentioned, there was so much kind of small evolutions of this story of, okay, he's holding in, but he's at practice. Now he's not at practice. Now he's warming up. And it felt like there was kind of a new thing every day without that much actual movement on the contract extension. So to finally have that in place, you know, 4 years, $48 million?
Yes.
I'm looking at all my numbers from all the different extensions. I think that's huge for this team just to, you know, Brandon Bean, when he talked to us this morning, said he was worried it would become a distraction, but he doesn't think it ever did. But it was kind of dragging on a bit of just, you know, every day seeing what James is doing or not doing. So I think I was, from a coverage standpoint, relieved to finally cover other things.
It was bizarre. And really, the bizarre part of it for me started at the preseason game when he's on the field warming up and you're wondering what's going on here, because
right.
He hadn't been practicing. We hadn't even seen him on the practice field until I think it was Tuesday. So it had been a few days since we'd even seen him around the team. We knew that he was attending meetings and walkthroughs, but for him to be on the field, you knew he wasn't going to play, but still. And then Sean McDermott's comments after the fact, he was tired of answering questions
yes.
about it, which I don't blame him, given it's out of his control, it's out of his hands. But they needed James Cook under contract, and James Cook knew that they needed him under contract. This is a season where they have realistic Super Bowl aspirations, and only a few teams in the NFL can really say that at this point right now. So to get him under contract with still pretty much plenty of time to get ready for this season, it's big. I know, especially given how much this team runs the ball and his role in the offense.
I thought it was interesting, again, when Brandon Bean talked Wednesday morning ahead of practice, him saying that when James Cook practiced Tuesday before a deal, it was because they needed to have that good faith before they signed an extension. Because that was another day we were kind of like, okay, well, what's going on if he's back? So there was a little clarity there of, you know, it sounds like it was more from the Bills side of saying, we need you to practice before we really hammer this out.
And he was willing to compromise. And at that point, he had every reason to just keep holding in. He gained leverage by doing it. You could argue about, you know, whether he should have done it at the start of camp, the timing of it, and all of that. But in the end, James Cook, he bet on himself by doing this, and it paid off.
Another interesting facet to it was talking to other players on the team after the news broke. My favorite reaction was Christian Benford didn't know yet. Even after practice, he's not really on social media. So he, you know, defensive back, he's not necessarily in the same meeting room in the morning with James and hearing the news. But as soon as he found out, he was basically like, you know, that's fire. Congrats, big dog. But, you know, you look at Benford, Terrell Bernard, Greg Rousseau, Khalil Shakir, Josh Allen, this group that the Bills extended over the last few months. Brandon Bean was talking about how he wants that young core to invest in them. And now they need to kind of prove themselves back. You know, the team has talked about sometimes a player, once they sign an extension, they kind of play a little quieter, but these are guys that they really believe are going to play up to their extension and prove their worth there.
Yeah, this offseason alone, that almost $600 million in contract extensions.
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen is a big chunk of that money, but it's very notable that, you know, and that's one of the reasons why they haven't had a hold-in up to this point in Brandon Bean's tenure. These players know that if they do their part and they develop and they contribute on the field, they're going to have a chance to get their payday in Buffalo. And he's followed through with that. Tremaine Edmonds is really the one notable guy who's had to go elsewhere because a deal couldn't get done here. But it does lead to an interesting conversation about the amount of money they gave James Cook, why they did it, how they envision really utilizing somebody they're paying an average of $12 million a year, like you had mentioned at the start. And it's his role is not going to change, it doesn't sound like. They view him as a three-down back, but they like Ray Davis and they like Ty Johnson. That's why they brought back Ty Johnson this offseason.
Yeah, I think it's fun, too, to kind of forecast what can this group do together. Christian Benford was very high on the group. He said 4 Super Bowls. That's what he's seeing. But you just kind of look at, you know, this is the next chapter of the Bills where they've got these guys you know, locked in for the next 4 years. These were all pretty much, for the most part, 4-year extensions. And, you know, now we can see what this group's going to do together.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you're paying a running back that amount of money. Some general managers, some teams don't value the position as much. And going into this entire negotiation, I think everybody was sort of curious on how Brandon Bean was going to approach this. Is he going to want to pay a running back? Is he not? And in the end, he views James Cook as being that valuable to where they're willing to take on the risk.
So lots of paydays recently for the Bills. We talked about some of the guys that they extended, you know, starting in March and going through the last few months of just Brandon Bean, kind of figuring out what this team's going to look like for the future. But that begs the question of us, Lance, who next? You know, if you start looking at this roster, they're in good shape right now, but it's never too early to start, you know, looking down the line and seeing what Brandon Bean might have in mind. Who stands out to you for what might be next for this team?
There are a few candidates, but as you mentioned, Brandon Bean's taken care of so many players that a big chunk of this roster is already taken care of, and in premium positions, whether you think about Greg Rousseau at edge rusher, both of their offensive tackles are taken care of, the receiver room's pretty good. We'll get to more of that, but really this focuses on the interior of the offensive line. You have three candidates there, guys, that you could really pay now or in the next 12 months, and for me, based on the timing and the urgency of wanting to get something done, you know, sooner rather than later, it's Connor McGovern. He shifted the center a year ago. It's a position he had played mostly in college, a little bit with the Cowboys, and he's only gained more responsibility with his experience in this offense. He's making more calls at the line of scrimmage. And Josh Allen's developed this level of trust to where he can rely on Connor McGovern to call out what he's seeing on the field, and they can make adjustments to the line. And that's no small feat. And yes, they have Cedric Van Pran-Granger as a backup. Alec Anderson, somebody who could come in, you know, but those two have been hurt in all of training camp. And Connor McGovern, based on the way that he played last season in 24, he was a top 12, top 15 center. And, you know, with his age, and it's just been such a great fit for him, it would be easier to get a deal done now as opposed to trying at the end of the season when he's about to hit unrestricted free agency and he can go sign anywhere else. And that's a position that you get paid handsomely to play. Where are you at on this group? Because there's a few, you know, three big names.
Right. I mean, we've narrowed it a bit. Osiris Torrance, I don't know if it's early to talk him, but just look at what he has done for this team. You know, pulling up even just his snap counts, he played 100% of snaps his rookie season, backed it up last year with 93%. And I think that's just because they didn't need their starters towards the end of the season. But I think just kind of you look at what he's been able to do, getting thrown in right away, holding up that offensive line. I think he's a guy that eventually they're going to want to lock in for the future, that draft, develop, re-sign process. You know, I think he is someone who is, you know, you watch the offensive line, he's such a key part of it. And I think eventually the Bills are going to want to make sure he is there for the foreseeable future, too.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he's only entering year three, so it is a little early, but they've been proactive with extensions like this. And in that position, guard, it's a premium spot to where you don't want to wait too long because the number's only going to go up if he continues on this trajectory. It was interesting during camp, I think it was last week, Spencer Brown, when he spoke to reporters out in, at St. John Fisher, he mentioned Osiris Torrance is the guy that's really stood out to him in camp, and he just mentioned how remarkable it is that, I mean, Torrance, I think he's allowed like one or two sacks his entire NFL career up
to
this
point.
It's absurd,
yeah.
And what he does in the run game, and you think about what they have, you know, they've kept developing and drafting players. You know, Chase Lunt is somebody who's been playing some left tackle and right guard in camp. He did it in the preseason game. But Torrance, if you're thinking long term, is somebody they're absolutely not going to want to lose, especially if he's this good now. Imagine what he's going to be in a couple of years.
And he has a lovely cat to take care of back home, Cece. I know he wants to get more pets, so let's get him more money so he can, you know, like a Brandon Bean, just have a zillion pets in the house.
It's this whole contract with Cook, it is going to create a challenge for Brandon Bean. He even acknowledged that it's not going to be. There's going to be a crunch at some point. He's going to have to be a little creative. I love one of my favorite aspects of Bill's Twitter, by the way, is the cap gymnastics where everybody like tries to list, like if it's Micah Parsons, if they trade these three players, they restructure these contracts. But in you know, that's a long way of saying it's possible. And when you look around the roster, Catherine, the only other player I look at that could be, I don't want to say trouble, but they have to keep in mind is Dalton Kincaid. He's entering. You know, if he has a good year, they're going to have to decide whether to pick up that fifth-year option. If they pick it up, he becomes a very expensive player.
And that's what they want, ultimately. Yeah. You know, it's a bit of a contrast of you want him to have that excellent season that begets all that money, but then you have to pay him. So it's a bit of a, I don't know the right word for it, but they want him to be good. So that could be a little interesting, again, gymnastics, like you said, down the line.
Yeah, you look on defense. They've already taken care of, you know, Greg Rousseau. You know, Christian Benford's taken care of. They would like one of those safeties to play well enough to be a candidate for an extension like this. We'll see if Matt Milano can have a healthy season. There's really not a whole lot on that side of the ball. I mean, Maxwell Harrison's only a rookie. The guys that they really like who are younger are years away. So as much as I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about how much they have to spend, what this is going to look like, really they were in a spot where they could afford to do this at a spot like running back, especially given how important Cook is. Catherine, we're going to Chicago. The Bills and the Bears are having a joint practice on Friday. The preseason game is Sunday night. So there's two different aspects of this weekend that we have to talk about. The joint practice is an interesting one because there's been so much talk about these across the NFL with all the fights and
spicy.
There's been injuries, and Sean McDermott even noted, like, the league wants to get rid of this stuff. It's a waste of time. He's hopeful they're not going to have to deal with any of that. Emotions boil over. I get it. But there is an advantage to this, right? I mean, you get young guys and that situation, and you know, McDermott explained that you can see how, you know, the mistakes they make in practice on Friday, you can see them correct them on Sunday against the same opponent.
Right. And I think just the fact that you get to practice the same thing over and over, you know, who was it? Lions Dolphins today. They were saying how they were working on like red zone and it took the Dolphins something like 12 tries to score.
That's
so
sad.
Like, that's not great, but you get to practice it in real time over and over. And, you know, hopefully the Bills, you know, their goal is to be more efficient. But I think just the fact that you get an actual practice where there's a little more spirit to it, that's going to bode well for these younger guys, especially where, you know, you can't recreate a game. But I think as close as you can get to it while you're able to install some of this stuff is going to be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And you're not facing the same defense every day. Like a lot of these,
exactly.
Or the same offense. They've been going against each other for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks at this point. That to get a new opponent, especially one that's pretty interesting with the Bears, new coach, Caleb Williams. It's going to be a good test for their defense in particular. I mean, you've covered joint practices before. The one in Pittsburgh last year was kind of chaotic with Matt Milano's injury.
Right.
But anything stand out to you just based on the experience? I know the
Yeah, it's a good question. I think just the competitive nature of it, you know, guys really wanted to, against the Steelers last year, kind of prove themselves, be like, all right, I have been showing myself in practice every day, but here's a chance against a real opponent, you know, quote unquote, since it's joint practice and not the game. But I think just you got to see kind of a higher level of competition. And that's kind of a sweet spot in this part of the preseason of then we're going to see starters play in the game on Sunday night, a late one for us here, but, you know, getting to then take that and spin it forward into a game, I think that's where you see a little, guys are focused during training camp, of course, but there's a bit more intensity to it.
The Bills lost their preseason opener to the Giants.
Yes.
It was a, Ray Davis kicked an extra point.
It's
round of applause.
Play the hits.
The fans got what they wanted with that. We'll see if he gets a kick again. I have a feeling that his days are at least on pause for now because Caden Davis got signed and Tyler Bass is working his way back from injury. There's a lot of storylines to this one. Even if we don't see Josh Allen against the Bears, the Bills have a competition at backup quarterback. And
they
it's
do.
Pretty even at this point. Mike White started a little slow in the second half against the Giants, turned it around. He and Mitch Trubisky had pretty similar statistics. A lot of younger guys, though. That's the part of the preseason that I really enjoy is rookies. Could you see them? You hear the coaches talk about them in practice. There's mistakes. They got to learn from it. And when the games come, you see players learning. Now, is there anybody that, in particular, you're looking to, you're interested to watch or stand out, or even position groups for that matter?
I think, you know, like you just mentioned, there's going to be some rotating quarterbacks. We'll see who's going to play, who's going to start. But I want to see what's going on with the wide receivers. They are banged up right now. We'll see who they get back in time for Sunday's game. But, you know, just looking at today's list today, Curtis Samuel was out there but worked to the side a little bit, wasn't participating in practice. This is not my one from today, actually. They were without Tyrell Shavers,
Elijah Moore.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking at my practice sheet from two days ago.
Joshua Palmer did more than I expected. Just give it, like, he's clearly playing through something. He did everything he could. So I don't, we'll see if he plays on Sunday as well. But yeah, I mean, it's banged up right now. Steven Gosnell, undrafted receiver, was getting a lot of reps with Josh Allen at practice on Wednesday.
Right. So I want to see what that group is able to do. Who's able to stand out amid all these injuries, and who's able to really build that chemistry with the different quarterbacks? Because I, you know, it's a group that's, we felt it was kind of deep for a moment, and now it's like, oh, they are dealing with so much at once.
For me, it's going to be on defense. They're, you know, Sean McDermott even said it on Tuesday. He's a tad frustrated that he hasn't been able to have Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp on the field at the same time. They've missed valuable reps. Not only have they missed time, but, you know, Cam Lewis missed practice today, who's also spent time at safety. So they're really trying to develop some depth at that position, whether it be Derek Forrest, or they signed, you know, Trey Herndon, if I'm not mistaken. And the one young guy that's really, really, really made a jump, I thought, in that preseason game against the Giants was Jordan Hancock.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about him. He's spent some time at nickel corner. It seems like he's more settled in at safety these last few weeks. Played really well, not only against the run, but against the pass. You know, how does he adjust to this offense that they're facing, that they're going to – they move the ball well. It's a pretty interesting scheme. They've got some weapons to throw to. It's not going to be an easy challenge. The Giants, you know, I know they have a returning head coach, but there's not as much talent on that roster as there is in Chicago at the moment, especially in that receiving core. So Hancock's going to be challenged. But the other ones up front, T.J. Sanders, I thought, was probably their best young defensive lineman against the Giants. I want to see more of Deion Walker, though, because when he was in – he was disruptive, and he's somebody that he's just such a massive human being.
Gigantic.
And you saw what he was able to do in college when he was healthy and wasn't dealing with the back injury. And if they can find the right way to rotate him in without overusing him, especially situationally, he's somebody that I think as a rookie, especially when Larry Ogunjobi is going to be out, can make a pretty significant impact early on in a limited role.
There's going to be so much for us to watch in Chicago. Like you mentioned, joint practice, the game itself. We'll have all your coverage for that on BuffaloNews.com, and we'll be back to podcast again next week, so make sure you're subscribing wherever you listen.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.